Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Sif Hyder, the founder of Array. I'm a wellness entrepreneur and digital creator, and this is my show, the Dream Bigger Podcast. Listen, I love dreaming big, but you know what I love more? Actually having the resources to make those big dreams happen. And hey, dreams can sometimes be private jets, but other times they can look a little something like having the best skin of your damn life, or starting a successful business, or delving into spirituality. So on this podcast, I chat with experts and thought leaders from different fields about their tips and tricks on doing exactly that. So let's get right into it.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Dream Bigger Podcast. My God, what an episode I have for you today. So I am hot off my very first IRL live podcast experience, okay? So I interviewed Tinks, and this was on Thursday, so it was really, really recent. And I did it in celebration of our new launch for Array, Constipation, which if you haven't seen yet, it is first of its kind, harsh laxative free product that really helps you get regular. So we, of course, had to have an event to celebrate this for our community. And we did it at HiMat and I interviewed Tinks for it. And it was such a good interview. The conversation was so rich. It kind of went all over the place. We talked about any advice that she would give herself when she was younger, dating advice, confidence, friendship. It kind of went all over the map. And I'm so grateful for Tinks because she was so generous with her answers. She was so funny. Like, people were audibly laughing. You'll probably hear it. And then we had a segment at the end for Q&A. So I think you guys will really like this episode. Honestly, to get a little bit personal here, okay, this was my very first time doing a live podcast. And if I think about myself a few years ago, I would be in shock if someone told me that I would have gone and done a live podcast. I used to be someone who was so afraid of public speaking, and doing the podcast over and over again, week after week, has kind of strengthened that muscle. And it's just, it's really interesting because it shows you that even if you're not good at something from the get-go, it's something that you can get good at with reps. So it's not just, you know, exclusive to podcasting, obviously. It's to do with anything in life. If you feel like you're not strong in a specific area, if you keep getting your reps in and you challenge yourself, you will get better at it. So that's just a little reminder from me to you. It was a very, I don't know, it was such a special experience, not just because we were launching a new product, not just because, you know, I had a really good interview, but also because, you know, there was such good energy from the crowd. And it was just a reminder that I've actually grown a lot as a human being as well. So I'm really excited for you to listen to this episode. But before we dive in, I want to bring you this week's review, which comes to us from, I'm sorry if I'm not getting this name right. I'm going to try my best. But I believe it's pronounced Fiorella Pignatarol. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. I hate when people butcher my name, but, you know, I'm trying my best here. And they say, I can't recommend Sif's podcast enough. Each interview is packed with fascinating insights, whether it's about health or entrepreneurship, beauty, everything. As someone from Costa Rica, a small country, I've found immense value and motivation in the diverse range of topics and industries covered. This podcast has opened my eyes to a world of possibilities
I've gleaned so much wisdom and motivation from the diverse range of topics covered. It's like having a mentor and friend guiding you through various industries. If I could recommend just one podcast, this would be it. Truly a game changer. This is such a sweet review. Thank you so much, Fiorella. I hope that's your first name, but I'm so grateful for this. And you guys, you know, I really, like, I cannot tell you how much your reviews mean to me. So if you feel like you have a second and that the podcast has brought you value, please, please open up the Apple Podcast app, scroll down to the part at the bottom where it says rate and review the show. In the rating section, if you feel like I've earned it, please leave me a 5-star rating. And in the review section, let me know any feedback, things that you've been loving, guests you've really liked, topics specifically that you enjoy, guest recommendations or requests. I take your reviews very, very seriously, okay? I show up week after week with whatever pointers you've given me in mind so that I can continue to show up as a better and better podcast host for you guys and continue to provide you with as much value as I possibly can. All right, with that, let's welcome Tinks to the Dream Bigger podcast. Hi, you guys. Welcome. Thank you guys so much for coming. We are so, so excited that we get to do a live podcast with Tinks to celebrate the launch of our new product, Constipation. So this is a big moment for us, and we're so excited that all of you guys came and that you could be a part of it, Tinks.
No. Thank you for having me. Thank you guys all for coming. I'm so excited. Oh, sorry. I always think about the Princess Diaries, you know, in the part where she's like, princesses sit like this. And I always sit like this. So every time I'm like, a princess sit like this. So I'm adjusted now. Let's chat.
You're good to go.
I'm good to go to talk about constipation.
Yeah, we're
and everything else.
Talk shit, you guys. That's what we're doing today. Before we get started, I wanted to take a second to thank our sponsor, Settle. So you guys know that we're a startup, and for us to have options for non-dilutive financing is so important. So we actually use Settle to finance all our inventory for the launch of Constipation. So thank God for them, because we wouldn't be here otherwise. So thank you, Settle. Okay, with that, we're just gonna kick it off. And the first thing I wanted to do was ask you, what advice would you give to yourself at 25?
Oh my gosh. So I would say, don't worry, first of all, because I was a very worried 25-year-old. I mean, I'm a very worried 33-year-old, but the things that I was worrying about at 25, it kind of all figures itself out. So that's what I would firstly say. I would say stop chasing boys who don't like you, because that was a big theme of my 20s, was just like actually chasing men who didn't care about me, didn't like me. And the real kicker was that I didn't like them either, but felt like that was the game and like I needed to have a boyfriend. I would say keep hanging out with your friends, keep investing in your female friendships, because they are the thing that is going to carry you through, and you are going to need those friends and they are going to need you. Those friendships are the through line. I would say try a little bit harder at work, because I wasn't trying that hard at work at that time. And I would say maybe do a little bit more skincare, because I was kind of rough on the old skin at that time. There's a lot of like sleeping in the makeup and, you know, heavy nights of drinking and then just going right on out. Yeah. That's what I would say.
It turned out okay.
It all turns out okay. It really does. Yeah.
But I do think that worrying in your 20s, like I remember when I graduated from college, I was constantly panicked that like I didn't know my path. And also I was someone who switched careers a lot to end up where I am. Yeah. It's crazy the pressure you put on yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, I really do think that, not to generalize, but I think that a lot of women put so much pressure on themselves in their 20s, and it just adds more stress. Like, we have enough stress on us as women in society. As a young woman, you have so much pressure, and then we add on even more pressure to look a certain way, to get a certain job, to have a certain partner, to, you know, just the optics of everything. It's exhausting. So it's a lot of stress and it's a lot of worry, and you're still so young at 25. That's crazy. I mean, I feel young now, and I'm, you know, however many years older. So at 25, I think it's just about quietening the noise and really like listening and paying attention to what makes you feel happy and who makes you feel happy.
Have you ever been asked the question like, oh, if you could go back and change something, what would you do? Because my answer for that is always, I would change nothing.
I agree with you. Even though I definitely had some extremely dark periods of my life, it all leads you to where you are going. And if you, I'm an optimist. Like I am a person who tries to find meaning in everything for better or worse. And I think when you look back, you realize, oh, I needed to go through those flop eras to get to where I am now. And it, you know, it's, I think it's a good way to be, because if you're going through a hard time, or say you hate your job, something in the job that you hate, you can use in the job that you eventually love. And I know it doesn't feel like that at the time, but it actually always works out that way if you open your eyes and your heart to that way of thinking.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Okay, so I want to talk about the hardest thing about getting successful so quickly and so publicly, because I think getting successful on the internet with so many people watching, it's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I'm so grateful. I truly feel so lucky that I get to do my dream job and for all the opportunities that I've had from this job. I mean, I definitely got really swept up in things. I live in LA. Like, I was an influencer at the height of TikTok influencer culture. I would be lying if I said I didn't get swept up in, you know, the first time that I got invited to a cool party or like a really famous person followed me on Instagram. I was so psyched on that. And sometimes it's hard to remember what really matters. And I feel lucky again that I have those friends that I was talking about from before that have stayed with me through everything and were there for when I kind of like woke up and was like, whoa, like, what am I doing? This is an intense LA vibe I'm in right now. And I kind of need to like step away. And, you know, it's very cool to be invited to all those parties, but ultimately sounds cheesy, but that's not what makes you happy.
If someone has trouble or has had trouble kind of having those sorts of female friendships and they are looking to start making friends, what advice would you give them?
I always tell my community and my listeners that vulnerability is like a cheat code to friendship. And I know it can be hard because we've all had experiences where we've been burned by people before, like especially girls. I get that. But if you are vulnerable, you will get vulnerability back. And especially with women, that is kind of how we bond. I saw this really heartbreaking TikTok. I don't know if any of you guys saw it. I think it was this week, this girl. And she was like, this is why I'm not, you know,
oh,
that
I
one.
Saw it, the
yeah.
girl with,
and she
like,
was like, this
yeah.
is why I don't, I'm not going to make any more female friends, like, or why I'm not trying to be friends with girls. And then she started listing off the reasons. And she was like, because the pretty ones, like they have this and they have that. And I was like, that's interesting. So you're categorizing girls into pretty and not pretty, girls who have boyfriends and don't have boyfriends. And I was like, the call is coming from inside the house, girl. But no, I'm kidding. But what I wanted to say to her, if I could say something to that creator, is like, you are closed off. Like, you're not really being vulnerable and you're not opening yourself up to the incredible power that is female friendships. I mean, I go on and on about it. Like, I will not shut up about female friendship, but it's for a reason. It's because it's literally saved my life at some points. And there is so much power when women reduce scarcity mindset and really learn to lean on one another and really learn to ask each other for help. And we are just now, in my opinion, getting to a place where we can do that. And that's why there's so much energy and power around girlhood right now. And it's the year of the woman and Barbie and, you know, Beyonce's tour. Like, this is all happening for a reason. It's because we are starting to talk to each other and harness that power that we all have.
Do you feel like it takes a certain amount of confidence in yourself to kind of let your guard down and be that vulnerable?
I actually don't. I think that you can, one of the things that you can be vulnerable about is not feeling confident. So sometimes those have been my biggest bonding points with some of my friends, is to be like me going to them and saying, I feel so shit about myself this week. Like, I feel like I fucked up at work, or I feel really ugly this week, or like I'm having trouble dating. Like, you don't have to be confident to be vulnerable. And I really think that it's just the openness that can bond you with another human being.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You know what I've been obsessed with? Getting inside my sauna blanket for about like 20 to 30 minutes in the evening, just relaxing. And I do this while watching maybe like a TV show. And then getting in the shower, taking a nice warm shower, getting into bed, reading and going to bed, my sleep has never been better. So the sauna blanket that I have is from Boncharge. So Boncharge is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. Founded on science and inspired by nature, all Boncharge products adopt ancestral ways of living in our modern day world. Their extensive range of premium wellness products help you sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. Honestly, the list goes on. So as I mentioned, one of my favorite products from Boncharge is their infrared sauna blanket. So the reason I love an infrared sauna blanket is because it does so much. It detoxifies toxins from your body. So, you know, if you've eaten a certain way, drank, it just helps detoxify all of that. It helps burn calories while you're essentially just relaxing. Also, it, for me, helps me with my sleep. What it does to my sleep is pretty incredible. So sauna blankets work by raising your heart rate to that of physical exercise. So it basically helps you burn calories while you relax, and you can burn up to 600 calories in just one session. Also, sweating helps flush out heavy metals and other toxins. Infrared heat also elevates your heart rate while relaxing and releases endorphins, which can leave you feeling euphoric after your session, which actually explains why I get such a good sleep. So what I love about the Boncharge blanket is the fact that it heats up really quickly and it's super easy to clean. So you just wipe it down with the damp cloth. It's also sleek and lightweight, and it has low EMF compared to other brands. It also has the highest temperature compared to other brands and super simple and quick to set up. It ships worldwide in a super quick amount of time. It has free shipping on every sauna blanket with no hidden costs. There's easy returns and exchanges with 30-day trials. So there's really no risk here. And there's a 12-month warranty. So go to bondcharge.com/dreambigger and use coupon code DREAMBIGGER to save 15%. That's bondcharge.com/dreambigger and use coupon code DREAMBIGGER to save 15%. Enjoy. Do you know how you can upgrade your home? Get chic and non-toxic cookware. I am telling you, it's a game changer. Now, you have probably heard me go on and on about Caraway on basically every platform, Instagram, TikTok, here. And it's because I genuinely cannot get enough of their cookware, okay? So I have the black ones with gold hardware. It is so chic. I cannot even talk about it enough. And also, it's non-toxic. So for me personally, I'm someone who is really, really hyper aware of things in my environment that are going to mess up my hormones. And our cookware, if it's non-toxic, is one of those things. And so my big criteria was that I wanted non-toxic cookware that was easy to clean, because I've had non-toxic cookware now for many years. And every few months, I'd have to replace my cookware because it would just like degrade because of how difficult it was to clean. It was like a whole mess, okay? So when I switched to Caraway Home, I was really, really pleasantly surprised by how easy it is to clean. even Nish is obsessed with it. He actually does a lot of the cleaning after we cook. So he is very grateful. Listen, if you are looking for a Caraway Home pan set, what I would do is hint to someone in your life who you are spending Valentine's Day with, a boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, or whoever it is who's looking to spoil you, and ask them to get you one of these, okay? Honestly, Nish and I love using the pans to cook. It's just a really nice experience to have something in your kitchen which is easy to use, that makes you feel really good, that there's like no fuss afterwards to clean. And it's not just me, by the way, who loves Caraway Home. Over 65,000 people have rated 5 stars about their Caraway kitchen pans. So now is the time for you to try it for yourself. Caraway has a code for you guys. Visit carawayhome.com/dreambigger to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. The deal is exclusive for my listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/dreambigger or use code dreambigger at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
Are you looking for some good, clean positivity? Good. Me neither. I'm Maddie Murphy, and I host The Bad Broadcast, a weekly comedy podcast dedicated to talking about everything we love to hate. I searched my whole life to find my passion. Little did I know, I had been practicing my true talent every single day, complaining. Join me every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer our weekly questions and for a chance to be featured on the show. See you there.
So you moved around a lot.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the tangible ways that you were able to kind of make friends and fit into a new city. Because I think when someone moves to a new city, they can put a lot of pressure on themselves and it can be a really tough thing.
Yeah. Well, I always say moving to a new city, you have to give yourself a year, which sounds like such a big amount of time. But I've moved so many times. And honestly, even if you love it, it takes a full year to get your bearings. It takes a full year to make friends and find your coffee spot and find, you know, figure out the traffic patterns and find your gym and find your community and everything. Like, you have to give it a year. It can be very overwhelming. Honestly, I don't know if I should say this, but like the truth is the fastest way to make friends is to go out, because like nothing bonds you like a night out with someone. I'm just being honest. I mean, look, you can go the workout class route too, but it might take a little longer. It just depends how lucky you are. But no, I think doing what you love, like if you love to run, join a running club. If you love to work out, do that. If you love to go out like me, go out. You will meet other friends at the bar who love to drink and have fun.
I also think saying yes to things more at the beginning. Like, we moved 100%. To LA, like, what, Nish, 2-3 years ago now? 2.5, whatever. Like, it's pretty recent. And at the beginning, you just have to say yes so much.
Yes, 100%. All you need is, like, one friend. And then they're like, oh, my friend's having a barbecue. Do you want to come? And you're like, just go. Like, even if you're in sweatpants, just throw on an outfit and go. You know, oh, there's some event, even like this one, you know, you're in a new city, you see an event, just go. You're going to meet a friend there and then you're going to go to workout class together and it won't be as scary and it builds on itself. So yes, I agree. Say yes.
Talk to me about confidence and developing confidence.
I think that confidence is such a buzzword right now. And it, you know, it's on the internet a lot, like, oh, you got to be confident. You got to be confident. Building true, deep confidence takes a lot of work, in my opinion. It's not something that anyone can bestow upon you. It's not something that you can buy through buying, I don't know, fancy clothes or whatever. It is to be truly, deeply confident in yourself is to know yourself. And I still work on it. Like, I don't even think that I'm fully confident at this point in my life, but I've done certain things that helped me be more confident. I think that reading makes you more confident. I personally have found that it really helps me. I think that being grateful and really practicing gratitude in a really specific and pointed way can help you be more confident. I think doing things that you're good at, whether that's a hobby, whether that's a part of your job, and really noticing it and saying, oh, no, like I'm actually really good at I don't know, presenting at my job. Like, I did a really good job on that, and really letting yourself feel that. And then going to your boss and saying, can I do that again? I actually felt really good doing that, and really fostering those things that you're good at. I think hanging around with people who make you feel good can build your confidence. Those are some things I would say, practical tips.
So how did you have the confidence to start creating on TikTok and show up as so authentically yourself? Because that was really your superpower, and you were kind of doing it before anyone else was. Like, people were dancing and it was awesome and so entertaining, but you were like one of the first, really.
I honestly wish it was thought out and that I had some strategy. I'm going to be real with you guys. I thought we were all going to die, like every single person on planet Earth. And I couldn't get home to my family. I was living alone. I was going absolutely stir crazy. I wasn't seeing anyone. Obviously none of us were, but I was like really isolated because I had just moved to LA and I like had two friends, and I literally thought we were all going to die. So I thought, oh, I don't care what people think of me, which is, in a way, that's what confidence is, right? So it was coming from a weird place, but yes, I did have the confidence. I just thought we were all going to be, you know, The Last of Us style, eradicated from Earth.
So, well, like the next time we're not feeling confident, maybe that.
Yeah. Just think about zombies.
So on that note of confidence, I want to talk about dating. Okay. So this is clearly, it's your forte. Okay. People come to you for dating advice. So I want to ask you about how women can be more open in settings to be approached by men. Like, how do you start going on dates? Because I know people are out here, like, you know, that maybe they're not the most comfortable with dating apps, but what's your approach?
Look, I think the dating apps are in a really tough spot right now. Like, if you are feeling so fatigued and so fed up with dating apps, you are not alone. I think that they, you know, at their start, it was an incredible idea. It was supposed to be a tool that, you know, helps you meet more people. And now we're at a place where it's kind of just like an endless validation cycle. People just want the hit. They just want someone to say, oh, like, yeah, that person thinks I'm hot. Cool. I can go to bed now. I have no intention of talking to them. So where does that leave us? Well, firstly, I think that if you're going to be on the apps, and look, I am, I do it very intentionally. I don't mindlessly scroll. Like, I don't do the thing where it's like on Sunday, you're hungover and you wake up and you're like, fuck, I'm single. I got to go on the apps. I'm like on my couch for 10 hours being like, he's ugly, whatever. I do it for like 10 minutes a day. I go on, I do my swiping, I finish out any conversations, and I shut it off again until the next day. It's a tool. It's not Instagram. Think of it like Uber. You pull it out when you want to get something, like you want a date, right? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, and we were just speaking to this right before we started, I believe there is going to be a massive resurgence of IRL in every realm, in terms of people doing things, going out, dating. Like, I think that's all coming back because I think we're all collectively exhausted by the internet right now. And people, like, we're remembering before COVID, like, oh, we would actually have more fun offline than online. And I really believe that people miss that. So when you go out with friends, you know, a lot of girls call or write to me and they say, I'm not meeting any guys when I go out. And I'm like, okay, how many girls are you going out with? They're like, I'm just going out with like my closest 14 friends. And I'm like, okay, so you and a small army is like hanging out at the bar and you want some like little brat or Chad to come up to you and tap you on the shoulder and go, hi, can I buy you a drink? Like, you look intimidating, even if you don't feel intimidating. So go pick one friend, go to a bar where you would want to be taken. So like, think of a bar where you would love to go on a date and chill at the bar and see with your friend. Maybe someone comes up to you, maybe they won't, but this is your best shot to meet someone while you're out. And also have open body language. Like, if you're sitting like this at the bar, like head down in your martini, that's giving closed off language. Like, smile, look around, like make eye contact with people. But I really do think that we're going more IRL, and I'm glad about it.
What are your tips for going up to a guy?
I really prefer to be direct. Like, I think maybe it's that I'm in my 30s and I am actually more confident now, but I think it's just fun to go up and be like, hi, how's your night going? And just smile and just see what happens. It's, you know, I don't like a pickup line. Obviously those are cheesy, but just kind of go and say what up and see how it goes.
Tips for a first date.
I think that first dates are kind of just vibe checks. Like if you have a dog, it's literally the equivalent of a dog sniffing another dog's butts and just being like, what is up? Do we vibe with each other? People put so much pressure on first dates to be these like magical, amazing things. And the point is like, it's literally just seeing, do you want to, like first date is a great, you know, drinks, whatever, walk, coffee. It's just like, do we want to spend more time together? So I would just say, think about how you feel when you leave the first date. Like what words would you use to describe your state? Would you be like, wow, I feel really exhausted and I feel really tired and like not funny? Then, okay, you shouldn't go on a second date. If you feel sparkly, if you feel like sexy, if you feel intrigued, then go on a second date. But it's not an interview and it's not a performance. Also very important because I did a lot of that in my 20s.
How do you not put pressure on yourself? Because I think what I take away when you talk about this is that it should still be fun, you know? So how did you start to remove the pressure from yourself? Because you were saying that like, you know, in when you were 25, for example, it was something you'd worry about. When did that go away? Was it something you actively worked on?
I think part of it is just age and you kind of realize, oh, like whatever version of this you believe in, but like we plan and God laughs. And I think that there's so much power in that because I was like, I'm such a control freak. I'm so anal. Like I literally need to control everything. But then the older I get, the more I'm like, ugh, I do all this planning and it doesn't ever pan out that way. So you kind of just have to learn that yourself and try to put less pressure on yourself because we try so hard and then it never pans out how we want anyway. So just work hard, be nice to people, follow your curiosity and have fun.
What are red flags for you when you first start seeing someone?
I think that, you know, I see a lot of like funny red flags on, you know, social media, like, oh my God, like his sheets are ugly or whatever. But I think for me, the red flags are like more internal. Like I really think that especially women don't pay attention enough to how we feel in the early stages of dating. We're so busy analyzing this new like creature in our life that we don't stop and think like, wait, has he asked me like how my job is going? Cause I told him it was stressful last week. And like, by the way, he didn't remember like little things like that. Those are actually the really important red flags. Or say you're dating someone and you come home and you're like, wow, I read the most interesting article when I was at work today. And if he's not like, oh, that's cool. What was it about? If he's like, oh, that's cool. Like that, the difference between those two is the difference between you being like super happy 20 years down the line and being super fucking miserable down the 20 years down the line, in my opinion.
I saw this TikTok the other day and it was this guy going off about like, you know how women will go home after like a clothing haul or like shopping, even like groceries, and we'll go to our boyfriends. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And you're so excited. Like, I call it my fashion show. So I'll like put everything on and I'll make Nish look. And then he'll be like, yeah, I like this one or not. And I feel like your guy has to match your energy.
No, that I saw that TikTok too. And then this creator stitched it and she was like, it's so sad. His response, if you don't know what we're talking about, essentially it was a TikTok where she was showing, what was she showing? Oh, it was a lemon. This creator grew like this really crazy lemon and it was like, it looked like in an alien. It was so cool. And she was showing him, she's like, oh my God, look at this or something. And he was like, ugh, like literally grunted. And it's like, even if you don't care about lemons, it's your partner. And that should be enough to make you care. And I'm very into that stuff. Like that stuff really, really matters to me. I don't want anybody to grunt at me in the future. So I don't know.
No grunting energy, honestly. Absolutely not.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Comes to health and wellness, I am a huge proponent for personalized recommendations, okay? So for me personally, since I started testing and getting really particular about what I needed to optimize my body, I've seen a huge difference because it's allowed me to really hone in on the kind of supplements that I need, what kind of nutrition I need to follow. Just we are so unique, which is why, you know, you can see a TikTok about some health trend that's worked for one person and then you try it and it doesn't really work. It's because there's so much bioindividuality, which is why I am so excited to partner with Wild Health. This is the kind of company that the world needs. Wild Health was founded by two emergency room physicians, and it takes a proactive and preventative approach to healthcare called precision medicine. They use your genetics, biometrics, and lifestyle data to help you to determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, and more, helping you function at your best now and in the long run. So if you, for example, struggle with stress, your cortisol levels, which is the primary stress hormone, are probably elevated. 50% of all Wild Health patients have seen their cortisol levels improve following the health recommendations that were tailored to their unique genetic makeup. Whether you have a specific health goal like weight loss, body composition, or improved energy, or broadly just want to optimize health and prevent disease, Wild Health tailors a care plan with lifestyle-first interventions rather than pills and prescriptions to, in the simplest sense, help you live longer. And I'm not just talking about lifespan as in like the number of years that you are on this planet. For me, my goal is health span. And so doing all of this stuff, like the personalized supplementation and the exercise and the sleep and the nutrition, all of this ensures that my health span is longer, which means that basically I'm on this planet feeling healthier for much longer. Wild Health is generously extending the Dream Bigger podcast listeners 20% off their cost of membership with the code DREAMBIGGER. Head over to wildhealth.com/dreambigger and use code DREAMBIGGER at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/dreambigger. Enjoy, guys. This one is one that I am so passionate about. Probably heard at the beginning of the episode, Zettle very kindly sponsored the launch of our constipation event. And this is very special to us because Zettle is a partner that we use at Array, and they have been such a game-changing partner for us. So if you're building a consumer brand, whether it's beauty, beverages, whatever it is, chances are you have cash flow top of mind, even if it's your side hustle. Enter Zettle. Zettle's mission is to empower the CPG economy with financial tools, especially bridging the financing gap for women-owned businesses through transparent working capital. They're all about helping brands grow while bringing more women's perspectives, inclusive brands, and products to the forefront, brands like Array. We often hear about the funding disparities. This is something that I've talked about both on my episode with Maggie and I believe with Kira. There's a funding disparity. So women-owned businesses typically receive an average loan size of $59,000 compared to $156,000 for male-owned businesses. Yet since 2020, women have accounted for nearly half of entrepreneurs, hitting 47% in 2022. This is where Zettle steps up. You're building your brand. You're probably preoccupied with surviving because the number one reason why CPG brands fail simply is that they run out of cash. Zettle takes the stress out of keeping your eye on your cash flow with cutting-edge AI-driven tools to manage your vendor purchase orders, payments, and you can access non-dilutive financing on a single intuitive platform. Expect competitive rates and holistic underwriting that delves deeper than just sales. It's about understanding your business and goals inside out. Leave your spreadsheets behind and get strategic about cash flow with enterprise-level tools.
So with Array, we used Settle to finance a lot of our inventory for previous launches. And specifically for constipation, we used Settle to fund basically the whole inventory order that we did, which is a big deal because if you are a brand that's raising capital from investors, you don't want to use that money for inventory. And even if you are profitable, you don't want to be using the money in your bank for your inventory. It's much better to get it from a line of working capital. It's just better cash flow. It gives you better float. Discover how Settle is transforming cash flow into growth for founders while empowering women entrepreneurs in the CPG industry. Brands like Array and also Dough, Kia, Ceremonia. Connect with Settle specialists today at settle.com/array. Again, that's settle.com/array. So one of the reasons we thought it was going to be so fun for you to be a part of this launch was actually because...
I love to shit. Just kidding.
Okay, well, you know how you've talked about the fact that when you're on a first trip with a guy, you
have to shit in the back. Yeah.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh my God. So listen.
We had to go here.
After all of my women's empowerment, confidence bullshit, this bitch will not shit in the house with a guy. Like I can't at all. And if I go on a trip with a guy, like I'm in the lobby, baby. Every morning I'm calling my mom and I can't do it with a guy around. Like, I'm sorry. I can't. So yeah.
Honestly, it's pretty fucking real.
I need separation.
Privacy.
Yeah, I need privacy.
A healthy amount of privacy.
And it's like, I put my whole self online. The one thing I can't do is hear the person that I'm having sex with hear me shit. You know, like, it's just like, I just need one thing for myself, you know?
Okay, I wouldn't be the co-founder of Array if I didn't bring up wellness. So I know you're a hot girl with stomach issues.
Of course.
Do you have any tips for things that help?
I mean, Array, obviously.
Gosh.
Like stress. Okay. Have you guys read that book called The Mind-Gut Connection? It's an amazing book. And it really taught me a lot about how connected our brains are with our stomachs. So I try to be really mindful of my stress because I feel like it's a direct cause of like stomach pain, stomach issues. It's a really cool book. I would highly, highly recommend it. And just like knowing yourself sounds kind of cheesy, but like just noting down like what foods make you feel gross or like, you know, that you get constipated or whatever, and then just take Array.
Wellness tips for when you travel, because that I feel like just throws me off of my routine. Like we literally just got back after 7 weeks of traveling and I'm exhausted.
I know. And I travel a lot. I always take off your makeup before the plane. I'm going on a red eye actually after this, and I'm going to fully take everything off, get in comfy clothes, compression socks. I'm very into, they're fantastic. A lot of water. Honestly, if it's a really long haul flight, I try not to eat on the plane because it, you know, you think about all the it just gets stuck in there. I don't drink on flights. The one time I don't drink, I know, congratulations, stinks. And try to get movement when you land. Go for a walk immediately.
Do you have non-negotiables that you do even when you are on a trip? Like, are there certain things? Because I think the thing is with wellness, a lot of people put too much pressure on ourselves, okay? Like, my morning routine has to be 6 hours long. No, it doesn't. Like, just have one thing. So what's yours?
I always need to walk. I call them rich mom walks in my community. And no matter where I am, I go for a little walk, even if it's 20 minutes just to get a coffee or whatever. I really need that. I feel like my limbs aren't stretched out if I don't do a little walk. So I always do that. But I really agree with you. I mean, like last year, I was so into my morning and nighttime routine. And even on my podcast, I did like a whole fucking episode about my morning routine. And you know what? This year, this January, I wasn't about it. This year, I'm having a really hard time getting out of bed. And like the only thing that I'm doing is like my cold plunge and like my journaling. And that's really all I can manage. I didn't do the 12 step thing. And it's like, that's okay. It ebbs and flows where you are in your life. You have to figure out the things that really make you feel good and stick to them. And the rest, it's okay.
Yeah, I think just being flexible is a really, really big part of wellness. Like I think that putting so much pressure on ourselves, it shouldn't be dogmatic. Like
I agree.
It sucks the soul away from you, you know?
Talk to me about the rich mom phenomena. I gotta ask, because how did it even come about? It's incredible.
I honestly was just dicking around one day on TikTok and I was like, you know what I want to do is make a starter pack for rich moms in different areas. And I was like, everyone will think this is weird. No one will get it. And then it kind of blew up and it's been fun. I don't know. It's half satire, half aspirational. And it's just a little bit of fun. I need to do one. I haven't done one in a long time. It's kind of like, it's weird. Now there's so much pressure to make them so good. I'm like, oh God, I need to make it really good. I was just literally fucking around the first time I did it. But that's how things always start. You know, the good things are always the off the cuff things. And then all of a sudden you're 4 years later and people are like, when is the next rich mom? And you're like, ah. So
it's the guides that you have to go along. I feel like it's a mini guide to like whatever area you're covering. It's like, how do you even know so much about any area?
Well, I love a wreck. Like I am truly, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing being an influencer. And sometimes I'm like, no, I was born to be an influencer because I love a wreck. I'm the type of person, like I won't enter a public bathroom if I haven't read a Yelp review about it. Like I love to know everything about everything. Like I don't want to know the restaurant in Mexico City. I want you to tell me the time of day to go, what I should say to the chef, what's on the secret menu, and like where I should go get dessert after. Like that's my level of specificity that I require. And that's what I like to give. So I just like, I don't know. I always just love, and I love to travel. So I just kind of know a lot about, you know, and I also love rich people. So again, kind of a confluence of all my interests.
Okay, before we move on to audience questions, my last question for me is, how do you reset when you've been out of your routine for a while?
I love this question because I get so many panicked DMs and emails from girls being like, oh my God, I was on a bachelorette and like, I think that I'm like deformed now because I ate chips and margaritas for 3 days. And I'm like, I've been there. I live there. Okay. Like we've all had that panic where you come back from like a girl's trip or a holiday weekend and you're like, my body is not a temple. My body is a trash can and I am having a menti bee. But here's the thing. It only takes 3 days to feel in control again. 3 days. So this is what you do. You get back your Sunday night. You're like shell-shocked. You're like, oh my God, what's going on? Oh my God. You literally on a piece of paper write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever the days are. You say, don't like try to work out a lot. That's the worst is when people are like, I booked double SoulCycle tomorrow morning. I'm like, that will feel terrible after you've been having margaritas the whole weekend. Gentle walk the first day, maybe a light workout the second day, walk the third day, commit to a few things, like commit to drinking 2 liters of water a day, commit to cooking one of the nights, commit to having a salad or something that makes you feel good for lunch. And by the third day, you'll be like, oh my God, I'm fine. Nothing bad happens on a bender. Trust me, I've been on literally a bender for the past 33 years. It's fine. You can get out of it. It's all right.
This is very real. Okay, so prior to us recording out, I asked the audience to send in questions, not you guys. So you guys are going to have your turn right after I ask these, but I have a few here. So number one is actually the new friends one, which I've already asked. Number two actually is, how do you keep things fun in a relationship after the honeymoon phase is over?
That's a good question. Well, I think it honestly has a lot to do with what we were speaking about before, which is like having a genuine like interest in your partner. And what they're interested in is so sexy to me. And it makes you be so invested in them and it draws you closer together. I also think, and I'm bad at this because I tend to get like so close and so casual so fast, but I do think like date nights and keeping traditions alive and still dressing up for each other and carving out time for each other in a real way, not just in a way like, oh, like let's just get takeout like every night this week, is so important. Like saying, oh, let's go do this thing together. Let's go to this art exhibit together. Let me take you to this restaurant I heard about. Those things keep the romance alive.
Love. Can you share your worst date story?
Oh my gosh, there have been so many. I mean, the classic one is like, I was in San Francisco and this guy flew out to see me. By the way, whenever anyone flies out to see you, it's always a disaster. Like you get so excited, you like get your wax, you're so pumped up, and then they get there and you're like, wait, I literally hate you. But anyway, this guy came and I was so nervous. And so we go wine tasting, fuck. And we're like, I'm like, this guy's really annoying. Like, I don't know, like, where is he going to sleep? Not in my house, Jesus. And we sit down to dinner and he was pretty drunk and I was pretty drunk at this point. And he looked at me and he goes, you don't have much in the chest department, do you?
Stop.
I swear to fucking God. And I'm drunk and I start sobbing. The table next to us hears, they're like, you're an asshole. Like, it was just the entire restaurant, Tosca Cafe, by the way, shout out Tosca. They really, really had my back in that one. I run out, like, he's crying. Like, he was like, no, it's funny. It's like Larry David. I'm like, you're not Larry David. You're just some random dude. So that was pretty bad. Didn't see him again, funnily enough.
Oh my. Okay, I'd be hard pressed to find something that beats that. Yeah. That's a good story,
though. It was a good story, yeah.
Guys, I want to open up the floor for questions from you guys.
Hi. I called in when I was on my way to Chicago to direct my first episode, and I met Kat through this.
Oh my gosh, hi.
Hi, good to see you.
That.
My question is about female friendships. Like, you talk a lot about kind of if you have a friend that you're having trouble with, to kind of like fade back a little bit.
Yeah.
But that gives me a little anxiety a little bit because I'm always like, oh, like if someone has a problem with me, I want to know about it. So when do you advocate actually bringing up issues with your friend?
Yeah.
The fatal flaw.
Okay. Yes. So I have a theory. Let me just back up and explain my fatal flaw friend theory. So my rule is that like everyone has flaws, and usually people have like maybe one thing that, like, we all do. If your best friend has a flaw that you've identified, let's say they're perpetually late. They're perpetually late. That's just part of them. And you have to either accept that or like demote them as a friend. Because what I can't stand is people bitching about the same thing over and over again. It's like, that's just their personality. Like, you, at this point, you need to like kind of shit or get off the pot, like literally. And if it's their main flaw, like that was a bad example. Let's say they're a person who talks about themselves a lot and they like rarely ask you questions about yourself. You have to decide, and that's not something that you can really tell them. You can't be like, oh, this major thing in your personality is bothering me. Like if it's something small, you could approach them. So I think for your question, if you feel like it's something that they might actually change, if they're a self-aware person that is into self-improvement and cares and is receptive to feedback, then I would say definitely go for it. But if this is a thing that's been ongoing and it's just part of their personality, it's usually a fruitless situation to go into a talk and try to explain to them why this thing is like hurting your feelings. And that's just something you have to kind of feel out person to person. I've done it both ways. I've had it where I've said, you know, hey, like this is really hurting my feelings that you like never ask about me and we just talk about you for like 2 hours. And sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't. So I really think it comes down to like, are they self-aware? And also like, how much do you care about the friendship?
Anyone else? Questions?
How do you help your friend cut somebody toxic out of their life when they're like asking for advice but you feel like they're not?
Ah, that's so hard. That is so hard when they're like, I literally just, it's over and over and over again. And they're like, no, I need to stop. And you're like, yeah, you do. I think that sometimes it takes people a really long time to get to the point where they want to cut someone out. And sometimes people warm themselves up by asking the same thing over and over again to their friend. And look, that's what friends are for. But also, you're not a therapist. And you have to set boundaries. And sometimes setting boundaries with your friend is one of the most helpful things you can do for them, because nothing wakes you up like your friend turning to you and saying, I love you, but we have talked about Jonathan for 7 weeks and I know that he's no good and you know that he's no good. So I'm here to listen to you vent, but I don't really have any new advice to tell you, because that shit wakes you up. And then you're like, wait, whoa. Am I being really like, so... Yeah.
Yeah, it's sound advice. Kate?
Hi, so I know you went to school in London.
Yeah.
I'd love to know your kind of favorite distinctions between British culture and American culture, especially because everyone knows probably what Saltburn.
Yeah. and we lived it. No, I'm just kidding. I loved growing up there. I love the British humor. I miss it. I still have it in my heart, and sometimes people think I'm being really mean and I'm actually just trying to flirt with someone. I love the stiff upper lip that, you know, that Brits have. Like, it's really truly, I think it's very admirable, and I kind of like their don't complain, don't explain vibe. That being said, I love that Americans are so unafraid to show their passion about things and like try really hard. And, you know, I feel very lucky because I grew up in London, and then I had college in America, which was just the biggest difference of like any two cultures that I could think of. But I miss it. I'm going home in 2 weeks and I really miss it. I miss the food. I know that's like unpopular, but I love British food, and it's just so much beans and...
Okay. I'm curious, I know you travel a lot, how do you maintain your like core relationships in your like LA when you're traveling a lot? You're kind of home too. What is it like?
I think it's because I left home when I was 19 and I moved to a different country, that I've always been very intense about keeping up my friendships, and it's work, but I love it and I need it. And I don't know, maybe it's selfish, maybe it's because I love my friends so much, but I really do love to speak to them all the time and call them, text them, send them pictures. And it's also about like asking questions and really listening. And then separately, I think not putting too much pressure. So I think, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s and people start to get busy and move away and all this stuff, then it can feel like such a huge task when you haven't spoken to someone in a couple months, and you know that you feel weird because they're your close friend, but you really don't know what's going on in their life. Like, take that pressure off yourself and just pick up the fucking phone and call your friend and be like, I had a cheese sandwich today and it reminded me of you because you loved that cheese sandwich in college. And they're going to laugh and be like, dude, I miss you. Like, here's, you know, just take the pressure off. Not every phone call has to be a behemoth catch up and just like go point by point, like, how's work? How's boys? How's this? How's that? Because then it feels like homework. Just do what feels right and take the pressure off and send a lot of voice notes.
Love that.
As someone who captures a lot of content for their social media, how do you balance being a content creator and also wanting to live in the moment without having your phone out all the time?
That is such a good question. Gia Tolentino is one of my favorite writers, and she says this thing about how like the best moments in life are the ones that like can't be recorded and can't be monetized. And since I've heard that, I've been really, really focused on like putting my phone away, because it's hard. Like, to be real with you guys, every single part of my life could be content or could be monetized. Like, every meal that I have, I'm like, well, if I put this up, then this brand might say, you know, whatever, whatever. And since I heard her say that, I was like, the best moments in life are laughing hysterically with your friends when you have like tears coming out of your eyes, dancing to a song you love, cuddling your pet, like those kind of real moments. And so I've been trying to do less and less. I've been trying to just like get the content and then like put it away. But I have a lot of work to go. I have a lot of progress to make, rather. So it's one of my big goals for this year.
Thank you guys so much for coming. This was awesome. You guys brought really good energy. It made me not nervous. And thanks, Tinks, for being such
a
good
interviewee. Thank you for having me. And thank you. Thanks you to all of you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved the episode and feel like it brought you value, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review. It takes 5 seconds and really helps the show grow so I can keep bringing on awesome guests. If you want to follow me behind the scenes, you can find me on Instagram at Sif Hyder. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. I drop new episodes every Tuesday, so come hang with me and shoot the shit with some really smart people, learn and unlearn, and have a lot of fun. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.